college football starting to get a little more interesting. Follow his work for USA Today online, usatoday.com. Follow along on Twitter using the handle at George Schroeder. George, how are you today?
Man, I'm good. How are you?
Great. Last week, at the risk of getting ahead of myself, we talked about Clemson, their schedule, and I thought this might be their most dangerous game left. I think you nailed it in what you wrote. You know, forget the final score. You pay attention to how little that defense has given up and kind of how the Hokies scored. How dominating of a performance did you witness for that Tiger defense?
It was as dominating as one as I've seen in a while. So he, you know, Brent Venables is their defense coordinator and does a tremendous job. But their front seven, and specifically their front four, really their front four, is as good a defensive line as we've seen in a long time. And they really kind of sucked the life out of any upset hopes. I mean, that stadium is one of the better environments in college football, very loud. And that's a good Virginia Tech team. And, you know, they walked in there thinking, hey, maybe we can pull the upset off. And that Clemson defense just shut those ideas down from the get-go.
Yeah, I think you mentioned specifically, I believe it was, now I'm forgetting, it's Austin Bryant. He looks like when his draft comes up, it's not going to be very long until his name gets called.
No, I don't think so. But look, I'm not even sure that he's the might be the fourth best defensive lineman on the team.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I mean, listen, you know, they've got the Cleveland Farrell, who's just a sophomore, started last year as a true freshman, is unbelievably good. They've got guys who can just flat play. Dexter Lawrence. You've got Christian Wilkins. They've got four guys right there that are, you know, I mean, it's just a fantastic defensive line, the likes of which you don't typically see.
Talking with George Schroeder, USA Today. I know the theme kind of is should be don't get too far ahead of yourselves because there are injuries and road games. They have a new starting quarterback. They get Georgia Tech and Florida State at home. I guess NC State at Raleigh. But when you look back, sometimes hindsight is a beautiful thing. Dabo Swinney, early this season was like, don't panic because we lost to Sean Watson. We're going to be really good again. And I think some people kind of were a little snarky about that, but he seems accurate.
Well, let me just say this. I mean, I think it goes back to how good their defense is. It gives you the ability to do things on sort of the Alabama model from a year ago. If you recall, Alabama was so good last year on defense that they were able to get by almost everybody they played right up to the very end when they played a little team known as Clemson that had a Deshaun Watson with a, frankly, an offense that they had to drag along occasionally. I mean, that was a grind offense, and then they would make a few big plays, and they had this sort of safety net because the defense wasn't letting the other team score most of the time. That's what Clemson has. Now, that said, Kelly Bryant, he's not Deshaun Watson, but he's a junior. He's a big kid, 6'4", 220. He runs really well, very nimbly, actually, but also powerfully. He's one of those fall-forward type of quarterbacks, too. When you need 4 yards, he seems to find a way to get it. And he's been really good. He's not a bad thrower. He's not a great thrower. He's not a bad passer. He's not going to be Deshaun Watson. But when I use that Alabama analogy, Clemson's defense is as good as Alabama's was last year, although maybe it's not scoring itself as much. But its offense with Kelly Bryant is, frankly, more efficient than Alabama's was last year. So they're on that Alabama model, but they've got a better offense, I think. Now, all that said, that's why we were all wrong, and that includes me, when we thought they might. I didn't think they'd take a giant step back, but I thought maybe they would take a half step back and be just out of the playoff mix. As it is now, you look at Clemson and Alabama, Alabama and Clemson, and they look like they're playing on a different level than the next group of playoff hopefuls. So, I mean, Yeah, they didn't take a step back at all.
Let's go to the SEC. Georgia handed Tennessee worst loss ever at Neyland Stadium, worst home loss since 1905. But those Bulldogs, year two, Kirby Smart, they don't have to play Alabama. That Notre Dame win looks a little bit better. And I know UGA sometimes underachieves, but for now, that freshman quarterback looks good. Defense, how do you like this addition of the Bulldogs so far?
Well, they're certainly not very good. I mean, they're built in a good way. The defense is how it starts. They've got a run game, which takes pressure off whoever is the quarterback. It looks like it's going to be Jake Fromm, the freshman, even after Jacob Eason is ready again from his injury. And I think they're really good. That said, I'm not ready to anoint them as ready to take down Alabama. Any meeting with Alabama would only occur in an SEC title game. They're not on the schedule. So Georgia's got to go to Auburn in November. Auburn, by the way, another team that seems to be playing fairly well, too. But it's certainly encouraging for Georgia fans, for sure, what Kirby Smart appears to be doing in year two. The only thing I would say is, blowing out Mississippi State seemed impressive at the time because of what happened with what they had done to LSU the previous week. Now come to find out, LSU is just terrible. Okay, so Mississippi State beating LSU like a drum at home wasn't that big a deal. So is it a giant deal for Georgia to blow out Mississippi State? I don't know. Is it a giant deal to blow out a Tennessee team that's really struggled for most of the year? I don't know. The fact is, though, they've blown them out, and they've looked really good doing it. So, we may not really know how good Georgia is if and until they get to the SEC title game and play in Alabama, or maybe when they play and Auburn in November. And by the way, they could play Auburn twice.
Right.
If Auburn were to win the SEC West. So I like what I've seen out of Georgia. I just think, man, we're so big on flavor of the week in college football. Now maybe they're the flavor of 2 weeks, but let's, just as the SEC fans like to say, but they ain't played nobody, right? I don't know if they've played anybody. I know they played really well. The win over Notre Dame, though, looks better and better and better as the season goes on, because Notre Dame looks like an actual legitimate team this year.
You mentioned LSU, who paid $1 million to have the worst homecoming guest ever. They had a senior quarterback returning, defense usually a staple. But, you look at Ed Orgeron from his head coaching days at Ole Miss. He won three games. He's been an interim guy, big expectation program. Is it too early to call for buyer's remorse with that contract?
We can call for it all we want, but there's nothing you can do about it. I mean, look, it appears to be a gigantic blunder. There are those of us who thought it was probably a blunder in the first place, hiring Ed Orgeron in the first place. But not only hiring him, but hiring him when you hired him, which is right after Tom Herman fairly predictably turned you down and took Texas. You didn't talk to anybody else, but basically between 12 and 18 hours later, you turned to the interim coach. If you'd have gone, first of all, you should have had other people lined up and ready to talk with. But even if you didn't, just take some time and do it. Ed Orgeron's not going anywhere. You can ask him after you've talked to eight people. Then you can hire him. Next, you hired him, and you paid him the going rate. They paid him $3.5 million a year. He has a giant buyout. This is a guy who had zero leverage. It's kind of his dream job. And yet you allowed him to have a contract as though 12 other schools were after him, and you were concerned that other schools were going to try to come get him. Well, that could all come back to bite you now. Now, listen, maybe they'll get things turned around. I'm not hopeful of that. But if they don't, let me tell you who's going to be leaving before Ed Orgeron. It's Joe Aliva, the athletic director, who did all of the stuff I just mentioned.
Right. Ouch. We're talking college football with George Schroeder of USA Today. Let's move to Pac-12 country with the Cougs knocking off SC. Leading up last week, I said, this is as big as a non-Apple Cup home game as they've played since the Mike Price era. Their defense was impressive. It was Friday, national game, ESPN. George, how huge of a victory is that for Mike Leach and the Cougs right now?
Well, listen, they've got to continue it, obviously, but they look like they're built to do that, and even some things are falling their way this week, unfortunately for Oregon. But It feels like the kind of validating program, validating victory that you look for when you're trying to be on an upward trajectory. Mike Leach has done a lot of good things since he got to Washington State. Really, that kind of a victory had eluded them. That was huge. I mean, listen, we can talk all we want about SC having issues with consistency and not playing great, but the fact is Washington State played really, really well. And you know what? What's interesting to me is, for all the talk about Luke Falk and the offense, their defense has played pretty well too. And, you know, so let's just put this out here right here. Mike Leach actually has a defense.
It's amazing from what he had when he got there. So you get to go to Tallahassee for what used to be As Big As It Gets, you know, Bowden versus Johnson versus Erickson, Miami, Florida State. You were there for the Knoll disaster against Bama. Now you got Malik Rozier playing well at quarterback, athletes on defense. Year two, Mark Richt, how you liking this edition of the Canes?
Well, I like them a lot. I mean, to me, this is probably a step up in talent level that they're about to face in Tallahassee. The thing with the Seminoles is one of the more confounding things of the season so far. Now, look, obviously they lost DeAndre Francois and that loss to Alabama. That's a huge blow to lose your quarterback. But it's not like we're talking about losing Justin Herbert, for example.
Right.
I mean, Francois was a nice player. He was going to be a star, but he wasn't yet. Maybe a better analogy, it's not like you're talking about losing Deshaun Watson in the middle of the season, okay?
Sure.
Look back, and then Hurricane Irma definitely postponed things, messed up all their plans, this, that, and the other. I get all that, right? But look, I watched that game live, as you mentioned, in Atlanta, and watched them match up position for position with Alabama. And the game turned on three critical special teams errors on their part, plays made by Alabama, however you want to look at it. And obviously their season outlook changed when Francois went down during the third quarter, I think, of that game.
Right.
All that said, they matched up talent-wise with Alabama all game long. How in the world are they not just overwhelming people now, but they're 1-2? You know, they lost a game that you're stunned that they lost. They coulda, woulda, shoulda lost to Wake Forest, which, great that Wake Forest has a competitive team, but they don't have the kind of talent to match up with Florida State across the board. So, and by the way, it wasn't because James Blackman, the true freshman quarterback, was playing poorly. It's just that there's something not clicking with the Seminoles. All that said, if they finally start to click, they've got tremendous talent. We saw that against Alabama. They're big and fast and strong, and I think this will be a great test of where the Hurricanes are, and Mark Richt has the program. It's really cool that all of a sudden you have to look at the Hurricanes as perhaps in their division, the ACC, and I still think Virginia Tech's going to have something to say about it, but all of a sudden the Hurricanes have a shot to maybe win their division of the ACC, which, you know, gives you a one-shot deal against Clemson. They don't play them in the regular season.
I want one final thought here, because I didn't ask last time. The NBA season's coming up. 93% of the GMs think the Warriors will repeat. I don't know what the other 7% are thinking, but in your backyard, add Carmelo Anthony, Paul George, team won 47 games. How much of a buzz has that created among the OKC fans?
Yeah, tremendous buzz. I mean, look, we'll have to see how it plays out, because Carmelo has been inconsistent when it comes to being a teammate over the years. When you say, that might be a good way to put it. I think Russell Westbrook and Paul George, people are already very, very excited about the possibilities there. In adding Carmelo Anthony, I think not only do you, if they can mesh, and that's a big if, but if they can mesh, then suddenly they have a team that looks like, all right, along with Houston, maybe they're fighting for second in the Western Conference. Now, and what does that mean? Well, it means maybe you get a shot in the Western Conference Finals at the Warriors, and who knows? Now, that's a long way down. And here's what I think it did, though. When they went out and got Carmelo Anthony, along with Paul George, I think the biggest piece of this was, I think it convinced Russell Westbrook that whatever happens this year, whatever happens with Paul George or Carmelo Anthony in the future, because they could both decide to stay, I think it convinced Russell Westbrook, the Thunder is going to put people around me one way or another. And that's why he signed that big contract extension. So he's now with Oklahoma City for the next 6 years, counting this season. So I think it kind of, 15 months ago on July 4th, when Kevin Durant opted out and decided he was going to Golden State, the Thunder and its fans were just sort of devastated. And now all of a sudden it feels like a rejuvenated franchise.
205 million reasons for Russell Westbrook to believe in their commitment.
That's right.
He is George Schroeder, USAtoday.com online. Look for the red sports section in the actual paper on Twitter, at George Schroeder. Enjoy that toddling town known as Tallahassee. Travel safe, George, and we will talk next week.
All right. Hey, man, thank you.
All right, take it easy.